Hello, how are we? So welcome back to my podcast. And today is all things binging. Why are we still binging even though we know we have the issue of binging? And potentially why we're still falling into that cycle even though you understand it, you potentially know why you're doing it, you just can't actually seem to stop it. So we're going to chat all about that. But before we get into that, I have got some amazing feedback on my last episode, which was all around the belief of I'm not good enough and kind of just unpacking that, going through it. I'm definitely going to do another episode on like beliefs, dysfunctional families, because everything I've gone through now nearly over the last 2 years has been so much of my own healing journey that was so separate from relationship with food and binging. Like if anything, it was my own personal journey of healing, even though relationship with food and binging and all of that was still my own personal journey. But I have now turned that into something that I work on with other women, basically. But what I went through over the last 2 years was actually just taking a longer, harder look at myself. And I feel like I'm still on healing journey as such, because I feel like it, for me in anyways, it's a journey of getting to pure self-love with myself, and I'm definitely not at that place. But I've seen so much of my own past traumas as such come true and how they dictate my everyday life even now. No, and that's something that, yeah, I definitely want to use this podcast to chat a little bit more about. And like I said, one of the messages I got was about just kind of how refreshing it was to hear someone else talk about dysfunctional families. And I feel like that's something so big that we touch on in our women's circle. So if you've ever come to any Soulful Sundays, the business that I have with myself and Hannah, if you've ever come to one of those, you'll know that we talk so much about the taboo topics that we all go through and that we all deal with, especially in Irish culture. So I feel like dysfunctional families is definitely one that I will be touching on. I'll do a whole episode on it, not bashing anybody's family or not bashing my own, but talking about how that upbringing can definitely impact, and it impacted my relationship with food. Sure, that's where majority of my relationship with food kind of, not issues, well issues, yeah, actually came from. Like even today I had a great moment where I sat down, I was after making myself a big breakfast, and my breakfast is like, I usually keep it really high in protein, so I always have like 3 or 4 bacon medallions, I have 2 chicken sausages, and I usually have a bagel with that. And today I was like, do you know what, I fancy like a breakfast sandwich, okay? So I put an egg with it. Again, my normal breakfast as always, and I'd be starving to be quite honest with you. So I haven't thought about portion sizes in so long, because again, I've been like, it's years now since I've dealt with any sort of calories, macros, body image, because it's been years since I have actually healed my relationship with food. So I haven't really thought about any of that. But anyways, I sat down and my mom was like, do you have enough there on your plate? And now she made a little joke. She had a laugh. And I was just like, and I didn't actually take it serious. Now old me would have been bloody triggered to bits. I would have probably lost a head. But because I could see that was her stuff, like it was not a reflection of me, and she was just making a comment as she normally would. But yeah, it's been a couple of times now that I've been able to see her comments about my relationship with food, and even with a healed relationship with food, and even her known, it's funny because she obviously, God love her, she is so oblivious to the fact that I went through such a hard time with my body image and with food, even though she was there and she was present for all of it. They just, it's almost like the older generation don't take into consideration their comments. And yeah, I just sat there today and I was like, God, poor Kira, like poor little Kira, like no wonder she had an issue with her relationship with food when you have like literally the person who raised her commenting on her food. But again, I absolutely adore my mom, and I know in that moment, I know she actually meant no malice by it, but you can see how somebody insecure about their weight, or already feeling insecure as like a teenage girl who was me at 16 and having potentially or dealing with any of those comments, would, how that would affect someone. Yeah, I just thought it was very interesting to see it play out, but it was very interesting also to get to be at a really good place with my own relationship with food and body and all of that, that today that comment didn't even get an emotional reaction out of me. It just sparked the thought of like, oh, this makes sense now. But anyways, that kind of actually does bring us into today's topic, which is on the whole discussion of binging and restricting and why you're essentially still binging. And one of the things, if I want to just start off, is making sure you have boundaries with those around you. And I know it sounds rich coming from me, considering my mother, after all these years, is still commenting on my relationship with food. But in that moment, I actually didn't feel the need, because I wasn't so triggered about it, I didn't feel the need to actually crack her or set a boundary, because it didn't actually trigger me anymore. However, there was periods in my life where there was lots of boundaries with myself and my mom and anybody else who was close to me with regards to my relationship with food, especially when I was working on it, because it required a lot of me. It required me to have different foods that I never would have, that my mom wouldn't be used to me seeing, or like having chocolate after the gym and normalizing that. And even, you know, her typical comments years ago would have been like, you're gonna have chocolate after the gym, does that not like defeat the purpose? No, it actually doesn't. But yeah, I'd suggest looking at your boundaries and the boundaries that you have with those around you. Are you, you know, is it filled with people commenting on your weight, your body, what you eat, how you eat it, what's on your plate, how big your portion size is? Because that can be very triggering for anybody who is going through or is trying to work on the relationship with food. So that's just kind of one thing that I acknowledge. But let's just talk about binging overall. So what exactly is binging itself? So I've covered this in many episodes, so I'm not gonna like give super scientific definitions or whatever. I just kind of want to explain to you why it is that you're still stuck with that cycle. So binge eating is just eating a large volume of food in a short space of time, but it is accompanied by the feeling of lack, like out of control. So you feel as though you're out of control. Sometimes it can be like an outer body experience. It feels like you're not behind the action. It just feels like you're partaking in it, but it's like nobody's home. And what we'd probably call that now is like a sense of numbness or a disconnection. So what's happening between the body is that there's a disconnection between mind and body, and you're not essentially, you are there, but it's almost like you're in that state of, yeah, just like feeling super numb or disconnected. But the cycle of binging, so it always starts with a trigger, and people don't realize that, and they'll be like, they feel like there's potentially so many triggers or there's so many different things going on. But at the core of this, the situations are different. So let's just say last weekend you were with your friends and you came home and binged. The weekend before that you were with your boyfriend and you binged. Before that it was something else. You might think that the situations are different, but the trigger is always the same. So let's just say you had a day where, even let's just use my example today, my mom commented on my food, okay? That would have brought up probably maybe feeling greedy, maybe feeling like the portion size was too big, potentially feeling like I could have put on weight. But what is underneath that? So this is where it gets very, very interesting, is what is underneath that trigger? You might have, a trigger can be an emotional, a negative body image thought, an all or nothing mentality type of thinking of like, you know, you're trying to be perfect with something and you can't get it perfectly, so that's your trigger then. Or restriction itself can be a very big trigger. But what are they actually, like what emotions are they bringing up in you? So something that I always work on with clients is like, they'll tell me the story of how they binged and what happened. And like, that is interesting, but it's not what I need to know in the nicest way. It's, you need to know what the trigger is and what that made you feel. Because once you can identify what something is after bringing up in you, you can then be like, oh, I really struggle to deal with the feeling of unworthy. I really struggle to deal with the feeling of guilty. I really struggle to deal with the feeling of feeling like a worthless person. And I know that they seem harsh, but they are genuinely truth of what even I felt, and I know many of my clients feel it as well. Is it whatever emotions they bring up in you, not good enough, you know, not reaching the standard that you think you should be, they're the emotions that you need to focus on. Like learning, obviously, firstly, how to regulate your emotions. But the one thing I will say is that when you're in when you're in the stage, let's just say you're already binging, it will be very hard for you to take yourself out of that cycle because the disconnection has already happened. Does that make sense? So when you are feeling that outer body experience or not in control, it is very, very difficult to rationalize with yourself. And the reason that is because there is actually a word for it, and I can't actually remember it, but there is a specific thing in the brain that controls like emotional regulation, but that is completely overrided when you're in a state of disconnection. So it'll be very hard for you to, like I said, talk to yourself or try and rationalize or try and come in with that reassurance to yourself. Whereas learning how to deal with your triggers from the very get-go of the cycle will really, really help you from getting further into that cycle. So let's just say the trigger happens. So somebody says something to you like my mom did today. What happens then is like, you're consumed by food. You start turning to food in a particular time of your life, and then it becomes like a coping mechanism. It becomes something you lean on, because every time you lean on it, it's always there for you. It always manages to allow you to escape from what you're feeling. You then come to the conclusion that food is what helps you in these situations. But over time, it progressively gets worse and worse and worse, and you realize coming out the other end of it, you feel like absolute shite. So what happens is you have the trigger, you have then consumed by thoughts, can't stop thinking about food, feel like you need food. Then if you don't fight that urge, you will then consume a lot of food. You'll have the typical, I feel like anybody who does binge definitely has like the all or nothing thinking, where it's like you've absolutely fucked it, or some level of perfectionism within them, because then they'll be like, oh, you've absolutely fucked it, you feel out of control. Obviously you feel out of control with food, and you feel like you've completely ruined it. So you may as well just keep going, and you can sort it out tomorrow. That's kind of the mentality, is I'll sort it out tomorrow, or I'll sort it out on Monday, or I'll do something about it in a day or a couple of days time. Then what you'll want to do is, come that couple of days time, you will want to regain control over your food and body. But the only way you know how to do this is by trying to be in control again of food and your body and dieting and restricting, okay? So that's what's happening here, is that you're feeling a lack of control. The only way to feel in control again is through like diet and restriction and controlling your body. But funny enough, it's very hard to kind of maybe understand if you're going through it, but binging is actually a way for some, like, it's such a complex issue, okay, when I'm talking about it. So there's so many different avenues as to why somebody binges. It's trying to take whatever one resonates with you home. You know, you don't have to take them all home with you, because like I said, there's so many different reasons that I have also learned from working on myself, but I've learned through actually working with people that not everybody's issue is also the same as my issue. And one of the big things that I have learned through working with people is that people will actually binge as a way to regain control. And sometimes this comes with the likes of purging. So purging is essentially just making yourself sick after you have a binge. But for some people, which to some of us might sound a bit bizarre, but it's really, really not, is that binging is a way to regain control, and they know then they can make themselves sick, and it's almost like a fresh slate. It's almost like they can start again now. They can finally breathe. Something to, obviously, that's one of the reasons that people do binge, is that when they feel so out of control in life, they actually binge as a way to regain control. Because if you think of it, and this is also something that anybody who is going through the binging cycle, I want you to use this as a way to give compassion back to yourself, because when it comes to binging, you will be so hard on yourself and you'd be so annoyed at yourself. And I get it. It can be really, really tough. So even though binging is such a negative experience afterwards, you don't know any different, okay? So a negative cycle, although it's harming you and it's not great for you and you're not benefiting in any way from you, it's familiar to you, okay? So you will always go back. Your body, your nervous system will always crave what's familiar, even if it's toxic, even if it's not good for you. It's like a toxic relationship. You might always think about people who are in toxic relationships being like, why don't you just not leave? But it comes back to dysfunctional families. If all you know is chaos, of course you're only going to attract that back into your life with a partner. And because that feels so familiar to you from a very young age, of course you're not going to leave. Of course it's going to be really, really tough to leave, because it's the only thing that you know. Even though it harms you, even though it's not good for you, same goes for binging. This is a cycle that has helped you, that has always been there for you. And just because it's negative doesn't mean that you're automatically just going to stop. You could say that about smoking, you could say that about drugs, you could say that about alcohol. Why don't people just stop? We know that it's not good for us. But the reality is that just because, like I said, it's negative doesn't mean that it's not familiar. And we will always, as humans, go back to what's familiar over being uncomfortable. And that's just the reality. So one of the things you need to get comfortable with on this journey is being uncomfortable. And that kind of brings me onto some kind of tasks or tools that I can obviously give you to help you obviously in your own journey with the likes of binging and what's actually going to help you. So there is a few non-negotiables. Okay? You need to get better at understanding yourself. You need to get better at identifying your triggers. You need to do some journaling. You need to become more self-aware. And if you're like, Kira, I already have that part of the puzzle, but can't seem to get the other parts, or can't seem to stop myself from doing it, then there's probably a level of mindfulness that needs to be also introduced. And I've worked with so many clients who don't actually, they want the problem to be fixed, but sometimes they don't want the bad enough. And I know, and that's not me being like, you just don't want it bad enough. It's like sometimes people think that these things can be handed to them. And I know for a long time, look, I was in denial. and I didn't want to admit I had an issue. But then I also didn't really want to do the work for it because it required me to get uncomfortable. It required me to take time to do stupid things at the time that I thought were stupid, like journaling, like sitting with myself. Especially, it can seem silly to those who don't know how to sit with themselves, who don't know how to just take 5 minutes to calm their mind down. For someone else, that might seem silly and it might seem like something that they don't want to do. But in order to overcome something like binging, you need to get comfortable with calming your mind and your body down and creating a safe place within yourself. Because right now you're probably on the go, constantly trying to do something, trying to jam pack your day so you don't have to think about anything else that might be, you know, getting to you, anything that you might be dealing with, you probably don't want to obviously think about, which again, I want to emphasize is actually normal. Like, we've been brought up in a society that does that, so it is very, very normal. So journaling, mindfulness. So what do I mean by mindfulness? Probably some level of meditation, yoga, something that just allows you to slow the mind down and connect back in with your body. So when you try and think yourself out of an issue, you're never going to get out of the issue. You need to come back into the body and see what's actually going on. Regular eating. We need to eat every 3 to 4 hours. But right now, you've been so used to ignoring your hunger cues and then going way past the point of fullness. So you just need to get used to eating regularly, every 3 to 4 hours. Keeping some level of food/mood diary. So tracking your patterns, okay? Like I said at the start, there is always a cycle. There is always a pattern. Situation might be different, but the trigger is always the same. It's bringing up similar emotions that are very difficult for you to deal with and very difficult for you to feel. So where do we run to? We run to food then. Learning to reframe your body images, like your body image talk. So learning to have a little bit more compassion for yourself, learning to tap into like, would I treat a best friend like this? Would I talk to a best friend like that? If the answer is no, then we probably shouldn't be applying that to ourselves. Now, on the flip side of that, there might be some of us who genuinely believe these things about ourselves. Like, we believe that we're not a worthy person. Like, I genuinely, for a long period of my life, felt I wasn't worthy if I didn't look X, Y, and Z way. So that required me to really challenge the beliefs I had about a worthy body and what that actually looked like. And where did I get that idea from? Because think of it, you've only ever learned that a worthy body was X, Y, and Z by what you've seen on social media or what you've seen growing up or what you've seen in magazines or what was praised or what was given a lot of validation. That's the only way. If you couldn't see anybody, how would you ever know what an ideal body was? You wouldn't. But you only know it because what you've seen grown up. So just understand that and learn to challenge your beliefs and the thoughts that you have about yourself. This is a massive, massive part of learning to reframe, especially the aftermath of a binge. You need to be able to come in with some level of compassion for yourself, and you also need to make sure that you aren't restricting after a binge, either through your language, through actual physical activity of restriction, or through food. They're the three things that I'd be looking at with regards to restriction after a binge, and just doing our best not to do those. Go for a walk, you know, try and not obviously push yourself into hardcore HIIT training. Try and do a bit of journaling. It mightn't be second nature to you, and that's fine. But there also is a level, and I think people get this confused when I talk about compassion, is they think it's like, you know, just sit on the bed and like just talk about your feelings, and it's just like, it's not at all. Actually, what compassion looks like, if you know another thing, sorry, is actually knowing your values. If you know your values and what you value in your life and what's important to you, and that's where you make your decisions from. So when we're not making decisions based on what we value in life, this is where we'll feel a disconnection, this is where we'll feel out of alignment, this is where we'll feel, you know, uncomfortable emotions, because it's not aligned with us, it's not what we want to do. If someone told me to smoke tomorrow and I had to bloody smoke, it would be so out of alignment of what I like and what I value that it would feel really uncomfortable. It wouldn't feel great for me, I wouldn't feel great in myself. So that's kind of tapping into your values. On the topic of compassion and values, is that actually sometimes you will need to force yourself to do things that you don't want to do, like sitting down with a pen and paper and doing a bit of journaling. And for some of us mightn't want to do that, but it is an important part of your journey. And that's what self-compassion looks like. It looks like calling yourself on the bullshit and being like, you know what, actually, this is what's Kira, this is what's going to help you move forward in your journey. This is what you value. You value overcoming this. You value your health. You value your, you know, your emotional, your mental, your physical health. So getting up and when journaling, even though you don't really want to, is an important part of this. It's like when someone doesn't want to exercise. Unfortunately, exercise is an important part of staying healthy, of staying fit. So you do actually need to go and do it. Whatever exercise it might be, you mightn't be going to the gym, but you kind of get the memo of what I'm saying, is that compassion is actually a lot about tough love and tapping into your values and tapping into what's important and being like, okay, well, does this align with my values? And do I actually need to go do this action even though I don't feel like doing it? So that's where a lot of people get things wrong with compassion, is that they think it's just like, oh, but I don't feel like doing it, so I just probably shouldn't do it. No, you don't lead with feelings. You lead with what's facts, with what you actually value. And that's how you tap into, even on the days where you're like, I've no motivation, I don't really want to put pen to paper, you tap into your values and you know what's important to you. Back then to another important one, learning to surf the urge. So what exactly is this? Learning to surf the urge, you might hear this a lot when it comes to binging. If you remember the cycle I just talked you through, you'll have your trigger and then you'll have that overwhelming sense of like, I need to go to food, I need to go to the shop, I need to buy all the food, I need to get the food right now. You'll have that overwhelming urge. That urge, I need you to think of like a wave. If it's a wave, it peaks and it always comes back down. So think of any wave you've ever seen in the ocean. It goes up, but it also comes back down. Whereas most people can't stand the urge because of how it feels. It feels like it's never going to end. But if you can ride the wave and remind yourself, like, even if it comes on and you set a quick timer and you're like 5 to 10 minutes, take yourself out of the triggering situation, out of the kitchen, even if it's out of your house. Like, I remember times I had to honestly go for a walk because I was like, this is so triggering. But this urge is like, I'm never going to stop eating if I don't get out of this, if I don't get out of my house. So you might have to take yourself out of the situation, but taking yourself out of the situation, setting a timer, doing something to quote unquote distract yourself and bringing yourself away from that. And that's where you can then surf the urge. 5 to 10 minutes, and eventually that urge will go. If you give yourself something to do, if you create enough space between the thoughts that you're having, the urges that you're having, and action, which what will help with that is mindfulness. Mindfulness allows you to create a pause, which transfers over then into surf the urge. Surf the urge then will allow you to, like I said, removing yourself from the situation, give you a few minutes to regulate, come back into the body, because you're thinking about it, you're trying to think your way out of binging, and then what actually happens is actually you think your way into a binge. So you want to remove yourself, you want to surf the urge. Then we obviously need to learn how to challenge the all or nothing. Bring your perfectionism standards down, which is essentially kind of learning how to quieten your inner critic. Journaling will be a massive tool for this, and mindfulness massively ties into this as well. Emotional regulation. So what is emotional regulation? So this looks like identifying the emotion. So I always use with clients the emotional wheel. Then validate. So don't tell yourself you shouldn't feel like this, because the minute you tell yourself you shouldn't feel like this, a wall of like shame rises, and that blocks you from actually tapping into what's kind of going on. So the minute you judge yourself for feeling how you do, think of it, you put up a massive barrier to even trying to tap into what's actually going on. Then you want to identify your triggers, person, place, situation, etc. You want to practice reframing your thoughts. So your thoughts are going to come in and be like, yeah, I knew you wouldn't, you know, fit into those pair of jeans. I knew you were always going to be this weight. I knew you were never going to get your goal, whatever it might be. It's going to try and come in and tell you this negative story. You need to learn how to reframe your thought into a more empowering, positive one. And this is something as well that we don't realize, is the more you slow down and become more mindful of your thoughts and more mindful of what's going on in your body, the more it is easier for you then to reframe your thoughts. Most people think, oh, I just can't stop my thoughts. You actually do. We do all have a choice. Like, I could go to the mirror now and I could start picking myself apart, or I could go to the mirror, look at my flaws, and I have a choice whether I'm going to spiral with that or whether I'm not going to spiral with that. And that's just about how much airtime you give your thoughts. So how much attention, how much attachment you give these thoughts, and yeah, just how much time you give them. So then expression, you can talk about it, you can journal. Then breathing usually is a great tool to kind of get you back into the body. So deep belly breathing, hand on heart, so left hand on your heart, right hand on your stomach. Take a deep breath, in for 4, hold for 4, out for 4, and I'd repeat that a couple of times. And then also comes, there is just sometimes in life where, now as you go on this journey, you will get better at feeling and kind of create an understanding around your emotions, but sometimes emotions are just there to be felt. Like, sometimes you will have a down day and you don't need to go out of your way to try and understand or fix that. It just is what it is. But a lot of people actually can cope with feeling down, and that's why they then, because they feel meh, or they feel a bit uncomfortable, or you don't know what they're feeling, they'll then turn to a bit. So this is where emotional regulation comes in, getting a little bit more comfortable with our emotions, identifying them, validating them without being like, you shouldn't actually feel like this. And then we have like therapy or coaching. So I would recommend some level if you're finding yourself still stuck in this cycle. The reality is that you probably need someone to be in your corner supporting you. And this was one of the main things that I got from coaching when I worked on my relationship with food, is that I had somebody in my corner who allowed me to feel safe with them and the relationship. And I didn't feel embarrassed to ever come and say that I binge. I didn't ever feel embarrassed to say I was struggling with something. And that's so important in your journey. And especially when you're trying to tackle something like this alone, I know it can be very lonely and I know it can be very hard. And also the thoughts when you're on this journey are a bit crazy. I'm not gonna lie, they're a bit crazy. You're always gonna feel like you should just go back to restricting, and that restricting and controlling is the easier life. I get it. But that's why I feel therapy or some level of coaching is gonna be really, really beneficial for you, because that's probably your missing piece of the puzzle. It's probably the one thing that's holding you back, is feeling like you can do it yourself. And sometimes we just need to drop the ego. I know I definitely did. I needed to drop my ego and just accept that I was in denial and I needed help and I actually couldn't do it myself. No matter how many 3 weeks I got without binging, I would still on the fourth week come back to binging. And it was just a realization that I just didn't want to live my life that way, and that was not something I wanted for future Kira. And I'm so glad now, sitting here chatting to you all, that I didn't continue down that road. I didn't try and fix it myself anymore, and I just allowed someone else to take over the situation and just really, really help me. And it can be hard to ask for help, so I definitely understand that. But just know, if you are going through this, please reach out to me. I'd be more than happy to give any advice I possibly can. Or what I always do, if someone is inquiring about my coaching, I always hop on a call with them first. See if you actually gel with me. See if you actually like me. See if we actually get on. And just talk you through a little bit, like, of how I can actually help. And sometimes just feeling a little bit understood and seen in your issue or what you're going through at the moment can be a massive, massive help. So yeah, do reach out if you have any questions or need anything from me. I hope you enjoyed this episode. But yeah, let me know if you have any feedback as well on this. I would love to hear your thoughts on this episode.